to encourage us. And I want to look at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 16, the story of King Asa. 2 Chronicles 16. Throughout this week, you know, I always try and seek God as to what he would put on my heart for us as a church and for those that have come today. So I believe that you're not here by accident. I believe that you're here because God wanted you here today. You may have thought, well, I'm just coming to support a dedication, or I'm just coming for some reason. But I believe that God loves you. He really does. He loves every one of us. He's got something to say. And one of the words that's been going around in my spirit all week this week that I feel the Lord's been saying is how God doesn't want his people to miss out on his plan for our lives, for this church, for this town. God does not want us to miss out. And I just felt the Spirit of God say, tell them, don't miss out. Don't miss out on this. That could mean so many different things. And hopefully, as we come around the Word of God together, we'll unpack that. And I believe that God will speak to you today. And I'm just a vessel. I'm just an ordinary person, just like anybody else here. But if we'd have ears to listen and we're open to hear what God would say, God himself will speak to you powerfully in your heart, as he has done many of us many times before. So let's pray, shall we, before we come to the Word. Thank you, Father. Lord, we come to you in prayer, Lord. We come seeking and asking you and knowing, Lord, that you have the words of eternal life. Knowing that you have the words of life. Knowing, Lord, you know everything about us. There's nothing hidden in our lives that you cannot see or you do not know or that you cannot meet at point of need. And Lord, we come to you today asking, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak to us today. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our lives. Speak to us, Father, individually, as a church, Father, wherever we may be in our lives. Speak to us, we pray, through your word. And Lord, not only speak to us, but Lord, I pray, God, that you would change us by your word to be more like Jesus, to be better people in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm with 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and we're going to read from verse 7. But just a quick background of what's going on here, so just bear with me while I try and explain where we're up to, because it gives us a better understanding of where we're going and what I believe God would want to say to us this morning, encourage us with. King Asa was coming into his 36th year reign as king, and we're coming to this passage in chapter 16. And at the beginning of his reign, in the first 10 years of his reign, he was a man who was a man of faith. He sought God in every single way. He sought God to please God, to honor God in his life. And he saw the benefits of seeking God and honoring God with his life. And he saw the blessing of that. He pulled down altars. He pulled down idols. He began to cause the people to seek God, the whole of Judah to seek God for themselves. And then comes to 25 years later, there, he says there was rest in the land. There was peace. There was no wars. There was no difficulty. He continued to prosper. He continued to build. He was doing, you would look at his life and you think, well, he's doing well for himself. The nation is doing well. They'd become quite settled in their place. God had given them rest in the land. So in his 36th year, in chapter 16, we read there that in this time, now all of a sudden, in the time of rest, and it all happens to us all, and everything's going fine, then something happens, doesn't it? In our life, something happens, some test, some trial, some difficulty, some challenge. So here he is, King Asa, in his 36th year, and King Baasha of Israel, all of a sudden, he begins to come to Ramah on the outskirts of Judah, where he is, and begins to rebuild in this place to stop people from coming in and out of Judah, to stop the trade going on. There was already division in the kingdom, and there was division happening, and the king of Israel was causing problems for Asa and Judah. And the king Asa, are you still with me? I hope so. Very quickly, yes. If you know this, chapter 16, you can read that first verse, 1 to 6, you can read through it later on. But just a brief overview. So King Asa, obviously, these people are not coming into his land. He's been hindered by the king of Israel. So he thinks, I've got to do something about this. So he comes up with a strategy and plan. And the king of Israel had King Ben-Hadad, who was the king of Syria, a pagan king, okay, who was already on his side, not King Asa's side, his opponent's side, the king of Israel. And he gathered all the treasuries in the temple and his house as well, God's money, if you like, God's possessions. He took it and he made a bribe, a deal, with the king of Syria to retreat his treaty from, you're with me here, to withdraw his treaty from the king of Israel. So in other words, the king of Israel didn't have the backing of the king of Syria anymore. His plan worked. They backed off from rebuilding. The division wasn't happening anymore. King Asa was probably sitting there quite happy because his plan had worked. His strategy had worked. The king of Israel had backed off, and his plan had worked in that time. It took a strategy. And then we come to verse 7, is where I want to focus on here right now. Verse 7 of chapter 16. However, despite the fact that he thought his plan had worked, verse 7 says, "And at the time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubrin and not the huge army with them, with the very many chariots and horsemen, yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them from your hand.'" Verse 9, take note of this verse because it's a wonderful verse and I'm probably going to come back to it again. "For the eyes of the Lord," and that includes his eyes today, okay, "the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." I'm going to read that again. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this," he says, "you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars." Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. And they go down to verse 12. "And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers, and he died in the 41st year of his reign." Okay, God bless his word to us right now. I pray he does, because it's a powerful word here, I believe. It's really encouraged my faith, and I hope it does, wherever you are in your walk with God today, that it will encourage yours. Asa started so well with God, yet ended so disappointingly in his life. Many of us, you know, when we've given our life to Jesus, God comes in, we have a fire, we have a fresh thing that's happening in our life, we have an excitement, we see things new, God's fresh in our life, everything's wonderful, we have faith, we pray, God seems to answer, miracles seem to be happening, things are changing around us, our lives are not the same, there's an excitement there. And then we go through Christian life, we go through that walk, and then the troubles and the difficulties and the trials, and our faith is tested. And then it gets difficult. And yet God would encourage us to continue to know his strength and his power, that we wouldn't give up. That's the first thing I would say to us today, is don't give up on God. Don't give up on his faith in you. God loves us today. And he's got a plan for every single one of us. So the prophet comes to King Asa. And he says to him, he gives him this rebuke, he says, and when he's probably sitting there maybe in his, on his throne and with a big smile on his face thinking, "I've done it again, I've got another victory." And then God sends this man to him and brings a word to him at that time and speaks right into his heart and says, "What have you done? You've relied on the king of Syria and you haven't relied on God. What are you doing, Asa? What's happened to you?" This man who'd once seen great victory because he'd sought God and relied upon God, now he's relying on the things of this world. He relied upon man. He relied upon money. He relied upon the man's power and ability, but rather than relying on God. What happened to him in this time? Had he become so complacent? Had he forgotten the God which he once served those many years ago? Let's turn back to chapter 14. Verse 2, it says, "Asa did what was good and right in the sight of in the eyes of the Lord, for he removed the altars, the foreign gods, and the high places." Verse 4, "He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to observe the law and his commandment." At the very beginning of his life, he sought God. His whole heart was yearned on seeking after God. Does your heart seek after God? Like it did that first day you got saved. Or maybe even this morning you don't even know God. And you think, well, who is this God? Let me tell you, start seeking him. Seek after him with your life because you will find him, as we read later on. Those who seek him will be found by him. Seek after the Lord. He's worth seeking after. His purposes, his plans are worth seeking after. As we dedicated these two girls this morning, we're dedicating them to God for God's plan for their life and God's purpose for their life. because we know God's plan for their life is better than any plan that we could ever come up with. And it's the same for you. God's plan for your life is better than any plan that you could come up with. And this prophet comes to Asher and says, you've relied on the king of Syria. The king of Syria was the one, he said, you missed out on the opportunity. You could have had the king of Syria as victory. You could have got victory over him, but instead you made a bargain with him. In other words, he made a deal with the enemy to get the victory that he wanted. How much sometimes we want to have something we want. We want something to happen. We want things to go right in our life. That we'll do anything to go right but seek God. And this man, he'd sought after things of this world rather than seeking after God. He missed out in the greater victory of his life. The New Living Translation of verse 7 says this, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead in the Lord your God, you've missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't miss your chance. Don't miss your chance that God has for your life. Don't miss your, most importantly, don't miss your chance for salvation. Don't turn away from God, from the call that God has sent his son into the world to die for us, to give everything he, and is on the cross for us to take all our sin away. And he's done all this for us. And sometimes we turn and say, what's God ever done for me? And yet he gave his very life for every single one of us. And we turn our backs on God. Don't miss what Jesus Christ has done for you. Don't miss the opportunity to turn to him. That's the greatest opportunity that any one of us can take, that I would say don't miss in your life. You're going to miss anything, don't miss that with God, the chance to be saved. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life, and God wants every man to have eternal life, but if we reject him, then we're rejecting his plan for our life. He missed his opportunity. The Israelites missed the promised land. They had the promise to enter into the promised land, but they missed the opportunity. It was the next generation, as you know the story, that went in. They missed it because they hadn't sought God. They sought after the past, the old possessions. They sought after Egypt. Esau, he missed his birthright. He missed the inheritance because he sold it for a bowl of stew. He missed out on his life. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what have I got to do to have eternal life? And he said, Jesus said, well, the commandments. What about the commandments? He said, well, I do all of that. I obey all the commandments. Then Jesus said to him, sell all that you have, give it all away to the poor, and come and follow me. In other words, he gave him the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God, put him first. And he said, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, and give to the poor. He challenged him right there where he was. He challenged him with the word. And God would challenge us with our hearts. Where are we right now with God in our hearts? And it says that the rich young ruler, he saw all that he had and he couldn't give it away. And he walked away with a sadness in his face. And he missed out. And even God himself said, Jesus began to weep. He became sad and sorrowful in his heart for this man because he missed out on his life. He missed out for the call of salvation. He turned it away. Don't miss out on what God has for your life. Don't miss out on the purpose and plan for your life. Many, Jesus talks about the ones who buried the talents in the ground. He said they missed out on the reward because they buried the talents rather than using what God had given them. Don't miss out. We go through life. Life goes so quickly. It's here today, then it's gone tomorrow. It's there. We know many of us sitting here thinking, where's the time gone? It's gone so quickly. And yet there are the opportunities in our life that we could have taken, but we've missed. We've missed. And I feel the word for us today is don't miss what God is saying. And here Asa had a chance. He'd missed it in one place of his life. He sought after the king of Syria rather than seeking after God. He sought after his own means rather than seeking after God's means. He sought after his own wealth rather than trusting God to provide in that situation. And he missed out on the greater victory for his life. And the king and the prophet began to remind him of what happened. Did you know that Asa probably had one of the greatest victories in Israel's history? In chapter 15, we read that the king of Ethiopia came against Asa and Judah, and they said they came against him with 1 million soldiers. and 300 chariots. I mean, that's quite an army. And King Asa, his army was 300 people from Judah, men of Judah, with spears and shields. And then there was 300,000 from Judah, and then 280,000 Benjamites with bows and shields. So he had 580,000 men against 1 million men. I mean, the odds were at least 2 to 1 a chance. He had no way of winning this battle in the natural. But you read verse chapter 15. So what Asa said, verse 10. So Asa went against him and the troops in the battle in array in the valley of Zephathath. And Asa cried, verse 11, and Asa cried out to the Lord, the God, and said, Lord, is it nothing for your help, whether with many or with those who have no power? Help us, O Lord God, for we rest in you. And in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are the God. Do not let men prevail against us. He sought God. And he's basically saying, God, you know, maybe they've got more men than us. Maybe they've got a great army before us. But God, with you, nothing is too difficult. With you, with your help, Father, this is easy. Is there anything, Father, with your help on our side that we cannot manage? He had a faith in God that was so strong. Then what happened to him these 25 years later to get to the place where he doesn't seek God anymore? He lost the victory. You and I, we can have victories yesterday. We can be praying. We can be praying like we have done for Libby and Connie. And we prayed, and many of us have prayed and sought God. And some of us may have fasted and prayed for these girls and other situations. And then we see we've got the victory in one area of our life. But just because we had yesterday's victory doesn't mean it's today's victory without today's faith. You can have faith for yesterday, but we need faith for today. When the Son of Man comes, and it says when he's looking for faith in earth, he's looking for faith in people's lives, he's not going to be looking at yesterday's faith. He's looking at faith today. Last week we had a tremendous meeting together. We gathered and we saw God meeting and praying, people responding to the word of God and in a powerful way. We had a great message brought to us from Tony. But that was yesterday. That was last week. What about today's faith? And God's concerned about your faith today that will make the difference. Spurgeon said this. He said, but the greatest faith of yesterday will not give us the confidence for today unless there's fresh springs which are in God shall overflow again. Even in your heart, say, God, I had the faith yesterday, but maybe today your faith is struggling. Say, God, strengthen my faith, equip my faith, remind me of your word again, strengthen my faith again. And this is exactly what Hannah was doing and what I'm trying to do for you today, what I believe the Spirit of God is wanting to do for every single one of us. He wants to ignite your faith in God, to believe, to continue to trust him for the victories, for the miracles, to trust him for the leading, for the revelation, for the guiding, for your life and for your family and for your world. He'd lost yesterday's faith. He was living on his own faith in himself rather than faith in God. Let your faith in God be stretched this morning. He sought after things of this world rather than seeking after the things of God. The Bible clearly tells us, as human beings, you really want to know life. You want to know the fullness of God. The Bible gives us the answer. It says to seek first the kingdom of God. To seek first his rule, to seek first his will, to seek first his reign, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all the other things will fall into place. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. In other words, it's not of this world. It's not just about socializing together. It's not just about eating together. But he said it's a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about living right before God, doing what's right before him in his eyes. That's what that verse 9 is all about. The eyes of the Lord, they're scanning throughout the whole earth. It's not just look, quick look here, there, and everywhere, but he's looking intently into the hearts of you here today. God's looking for hearts. He says that he can show his strength and his power and his might. Have you thought that could be you? that God says God wants to show his strength and his power and his might and his glory in this world through you. Little me, weak me, God's saying, I want to show my strength and my power. I want to revive this land. I want to strengthen. I want to heal this land. And I'm looking for somebody who will stand. He says, I'm looking, what kind of heart is he looking for? A heart that is loyal to him. A heart that is fully committed and surrendered to him. You see, we want the glory, but without the cost. We want the power, without the perseverance. You know, we have to surrender our lives fully to God. That's why Jesus said, when you lose your life, you find it. When you give up your life, when you take up your cross and follow him, that's with the power, that's with the glory, that's with the life of Jesus. It's not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not a matter of what we do, but righteousness, living right before God. Peace, having peace with God. Do you have peace with God today? Do you know that no matter what happens with your life, whether you live here today, whether today could be your last day, I don't know. But if you have, do you have peace with God that you know that if you were this would be your last breath that you were to take, you know that you'd have peace with God. Do you know that you'd be accepted into his kingdom, that you'd be right with him? We need to have peace with God. I tell you, it's wonderful to have peace with God. There is no fear of death when you've got peace with God because you know where you're going. And joy in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, doesn't it? Rejoice, rejoice, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The joy that we have in God is the having Christ in us. Any other joy, it's just counterfeit joy. Any joy of this world, any pleasure, any money, any hobby, anything that may give you a sense of pleasure in your life, it's just counterfeit. The real joy comes with having Jesus Christ in your heart and life. So what happened to Asa? And all this time, he was there, he had said tremendous victories with God, he'd met with God, he encouraged the whole nation to make an oath before God. They're all going so well, the reformation was in the land, God was prospering them. And something went terribly wrong at the end of his life. I wonder how many Christians, how many people have started so well, and yet right now they're sitting in their homes in front of their television sets, watching TV. Maybe going out playing football, anything else but worshipping Jesus Christ, the one who saved them. Knowing him, going on with him. They once were going so strong for God, but now their faith has become dim. The candle has gone out. 2 Chronicles. I'll come to an end, bring it to an end in a moment. 2 Chronicles 15. Now, I read this verse, chapter 2, and I thought, Asa, you've been seeking God, you're doing so well with God. Why would God send this prophet along to say this to you at this time? He'd had a tremendous victory against the Ethiopians. God had brought them victory. They're rejoicing. The nation is turning to God. He'd pulled down the idols. Everyone was worshipping God. This high place. And then we read verse 2. God sent a man, the Spirit of God came upon a man, and he went to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." This was when everything was going so right and so well, God brought a word to him. And I thought, God, how gracious and how wonderful of you. That God knew the end from the beginning. And God spoke this word when everything was going well. He spoke into his heart. In other words, he said, Asa, you're doing right now. You're doing well now. You're seeking me. You're doing things right. You're living right before me. You're seeking after me. You're doing things right. He said, but Asa, you've got to keep that way. He said, continue to seek me. If you forsake me, he said, I'm going to forsake you. He said, if you leave me, then I'm going to leave you. Powerful words. He said, I'm with you as long as you're with me. Somewhere along the lines, he'd forgotten those words. You know, I love it when God speaks words to me, and I sometimes get words of rebuke. People send words, or I get words of encouragement, words of scripture, and I need to take note of those words because maybe God's preparing me for something that may happen or challenge I may face later on in life. Don't despise words. When Asa heard the word at that time, he received it because he was in a good place. When he received the word of later on, this same God, the same voice, speaking a word of restoration for his life, did he receive it? No, he didn't. In fact, he got angry. He began to throw this prophet in prison. He got abusive towards the people in the nation. He turned against God. And this is what happens when God speaks to us. We'll have two responses. There'll be a conviction upon our lives. And God wants to draw us to him. Remember, that's his will. No matter what God says, he wants us to be close to him. When God speaks to us, we'll have that response. And sometimes we hear the word and we don't like it. And we can stump our feet. We can get angry. We get convicted. And there was pride within this man's heart, so much pride he could not receive the word of the Lord. And people would not receive Christ in their lives because of pride in their hearts. Because I can manage this life without Jesus. I don't need Jesus. And he rejected the word of the Lord in his heart. The very word that he could change. I believe God was speaking that word to him to turn him around, to bring him back to relying upon God again. Even though he'd messed up. Return to the Lord. And God speaks a word to us. Take it. Respond to it. Be humble before God. Receive it in your heart. Let him do his work in you. Let him change you. Let him make you more like Jesus. In John chapter 6, we have this tremendous passage where Jesus has had the whole crowd around him. He fed the 5,000. He'd done miracles. They'd round him. And they're loving Jesus right now. And then Jesus begins to speak, and he talks about his body. He says a difficult word to understand, but he says, my body, he said, the bread, I said, I'm the bread of life, and my body is real food, and my blood is real drink. And he said this to the people, the crowd that was around him, and they didn't like the words he was saying. And one by one, the church went from thousands to just a few disciples, because he spoke truth. They didn't like what he was saying. From the noise and the hustle and the bustle that was going around, the disciples can just look around and, where's everyone gone, Jesus? Jesus didn't come and bring him a word to try and itch, please the itching ears. He came to bring him a word of life and truth. You see, and Peter had it. He had it. And if you've got it this morning and you respond to Jesus in the same way, I tell you, this is what the hearts that God is looking for. He said, Jesus, where else can we go? Who else can we turn to? What government can meet our needs? What wise man can speak such words of life? Who can heal us? Who can restore us? Who can save us? Who can raise us from the dead? Where else can we go, Jesus? For you have the words of eternal life. He'd had that revelation that there was nowhere else to go. And when you get that in your spirit and you get that on your heart and you realize there is nowhere else in this world, there is nothing in this world, there is no money, there is nothing, there is no individual, there is no person, there is no character, there is no teacher, there is nowhere else you can go but Jesus Christ. And that gets into your heart. You won't go anywhere else, but you'll cling to Jesus with your life. Asa wasn't clinging to God anymore. He'd lost it because pride had got in his heart. I believe God is saying to you, you're going to miss it unless you're clinging to Jesus. He is your life source. I was praying the other week, and I've just had this staff. I can't get the shepherd's staff out of my mind. I know God's speaking to me about it. And I just see Jesus holding out this staff. And I see this strong wind coming, and it's blowing all these people in different directions. And I hear God saying, take a hold of that staff. And I'm grabbing onto the end of this staff, and he's hooking onto me. He's hooking onto me as I'm hooking onto him. And my legs are waving in the air, and I can see this picture of my legs waving in the air. I felt the Lord saying there is a wind of false doctrine coming. There's a wind of false teaching that is coming, that's sweeping over people and blowing people away. He said, but you must cling on to me and my words. And as a church, we are in a day, and this is a prophetic word for us. It's a word from God, I believe, for us and for you, if you would take it, that we must cling on to the word of God, the words of Jesus, for his truth. Not be listening to words that will please your itching ears, that will make you sound, the word that will make you sound what you want to hear, but hold on to the word of truth. Otherwise, you'll be swept away. Asa wouldn't receive the word of God in his heart. And they said then sickness came upon him, and he still wouldn't seek God. He said that he sought physicians, and there's nothing wrong with seeking doctors, but the problem with Asa was that he didn't seek God. If you're going to seek a doctor, that's fine, but seek God. Seek God. Don't miss God's call for your life. Don't miss God's plan of salvation for your life. Don't miss God's plan for your life, for serving Him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Even this morning, God's eyes are looking over our hearts. He knows everything. And He's scanning to the depth of our hearts. And He's looking for hearts that will be fully committed to Him, that will lay down our idols, that will lay down our own desires, that will receive His word into our hearts, whatever word that may be, and respond to Him. He says, to them, to that individual, to them, I'm going to show my strength and power through that person. I believe Rotherham can be changed. I believe our churches can be changed through hearts that are fully committed to God and surrendered to Him. It's not too late to respond to Jesus today. I wonder, Scott, would you come? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord, that you've not given up. You didn't give up on Asa. You spoke your word into him. And Lord, you've not given up on us. And today, Lord, I pray we'd hear your word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, any one of us who believes in him, puts our trust in him, relies upon him, will not perish, will not go to everlasting destruction, will not face hell, but have everlasting life. So trust in him. Don't miss out on God's plan for your life. Don't let it be too late. Never mind yesterday, it's today. Is there faith in your heart that says, God, I'm sorry. God, I struggle to believe in you. I struggle to put my trust in you. I struggle to understand your words when you speak. But Jesus, I realize that only real life and hope is found in you. If that's you today and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and accept him into your hearts, don't be like Asa. I want to encourage you to respond to Jesus now. And if that's you and you want Jesus in your heart and you want to know him, while every head is bowed, I just want to encourage you to make that decision, and just by maybe just raising your hand.